following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. This is the latest Green 19 Packers podcast. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with co-host Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com. It is early in the morning on Monday after a Packers 41-25 victory over the Chicago Bears in front of 300 fans at Lambeau Field. And it was not that close. The Packers just put it on Chicago in a must-win game for the Bears from start to finish. And once again, avoid a losing streak. Once again, rebound after a loss. And Tom, I'm just going to go with the obvious. Putting up now 6-7 points were scored by the defense, but 34 plus on this Bears offense. They were number 9 in the league overall, I believe 6th in scoring. This is a week after 30 plus against Indianapolis. Tennessee backed that up on Sunday. But anyway, it is 65 points in the last 2 weeks, over 750 yards of offense against the, at the time, the number 1 defense, the number 6 defense that has given them trouble. Let's just start there, Tom. It's they're kind of rolling here after hitting a lull a little bit, mid-season.
Yeah, they're starting to catch their groove a little bit. You can see that they have different ways of winning, and I think that's probably really important when you get towards the end of the season, you're facing different teams, you go to the playoffs, you might face someone you don't know. You go into a playoff game, you don't know what's going to work for sure. And if one week it's the run game and the other week it's Davante Adams and another week it's spreading it around to everybody, as long as you have those options, I think you're in pretty good shape. And the one thing I will say about them is they may not have the talent Kansas City does or New Orleans, but they really function well together. I think their offensive line is playing at a really high level. And you have that, then I think you can get away without having, multiple big play guys. But, they have Aaron Jones and Davante Adams, and everything comes off of that. And the rest of the guys are playing pretty well.
Yeah, well, speaking of Aaron Jones, Matt LaFleur has said the last few weeks after some, loss and that kind of, substandard, I guess you'd say, performance against Minnesota and Jacksonville, that Aaron Jones deserves the ball a little more. And here they are going against the Bears. Now, granted, nice overall ranking for the Bears, middle of the pack when it comes to run defense. Akeem Hicks, their stud defensive tackle and a real difference maker, not playing. Aaron Jones, 17 carries for 90 rushing yards. Tom, he hasn't run that much since the very beginning of the season. I want to say 18 was his season high. Hasn't hit around 90 yards for a bit. I don't think it's Jamal Williams' nice complimentary ball late with 73 yards, but I don't think it's a coincidence that, they were able to do a lot of this on Sunday night against Chicago with Aaron Jones being effective and running for as successful as he was. It still starts with him and a successful run game. And that really showed on Sunday night.
Yeah, it does start with him. And, when he is running the ball right from the start, it's pretty hard to slow them down because Rodgers gets that play action going. Everything works off their run game. And, it's really hard to defend all the different things that they're doing, whether it's the jet motion, whether it's play action. You know, they're doing some counter plays. They're doing some flat man-to-man blocking, gap scheme stuff. They have a lot of different ways to go at you. And when they have all their guys, they seem to be seem to function really well together. And I keep saying it's the sum of their parts, and it helps to have parts like Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. But, you know, at some point those other guys have to do something, and you saw it, you know, with Tanyan getting a one-on-one deep, you know, Equanimeous St. Brown had a nice play. Lazard had a couple. It's just kind of at some point the other team wants to stop Adams and Jones, but you can't stop everybody.
Right. And the Lazard touchdown was interesting. The extended play kind of filled the zone when Rodgers had to break down. Adams touchdown early, an extended play, 6 seconds, I believe, Tom, was what they said the time he had. And this goes back to what you began with the offensive line. Corey Linsley gets hurt again. This time it's a knee injury, and that's always scary for a lineman when you're getting rolled up on and bent. He had to get help to the tent, carted off the field. You know, we're going to see what happens there, but we see Elgton Jenkins slide over. John Runyon Jr. comes in again. We've seen that combination before. Late in the game, Lucas Patrick is lost with a toe injury, and those can definitely be troublesome. And so what happens? Billy Turner kicks into right guard. Rick Wagner kicks out to right tackle. Now, that was pretty late. They did help Wagner with Khalil Mack with some extra chips and things like that. I mean, but the starters were still in. And yet, Tom, you know, Aaron Rodgers, now I don't know at that point if the Bears had kind of, I don't know if they mail it in is the right word, but or what, but it is a credit to Adam Stenovich. He got my game ball on the insider, Tom. I thought, you know, the way they played against that front, even without Akeem Hicks, really set them up for success.
Yeah, they really dominated up front. I thought they did have a good scheme. You could see that they wanted to really plow those inside guys. They wanted to drive them across the field and create some openings for Jones. And then, you know, their double team blocks were working really well. Sometimes they would crash down. Sometimes they'd use the tight end coming across. They just had a nice plan. And when Jones can bust a couple up the middle, it really changes everything. It really does make the defense start worrying about him, because he can't let him just keep busting out 12-yard runs. And it was a nice looking scheme. You know, they got it together, and they didn't do as well against Indianapolis against the run, but they figured it out against the Bears. And who knows if it would have been different with Hicks there, but I still don't think it would have been that big of a difference in the game.
Yeah. I do have to ask, I mean, you're experience. I mean, you're again talking about a knee injury and just the way that looked initially for Corey Linsley, a toe injury for Lucas Patrick. Now remember, folks, Montrevious Adams went to IR. He hurt that toe in camp. Now, granted, those can all be different, but just your experience, Tom, that feels like a quick turnaround for either of those guys. If it is Wagner now at right tackle and Turner back to right guard, I don't know, what do you see coming up here? And is this too much? Is the attrition too much, or are they playing just so well that, you know, they might be able to continue to roll as they've schemed this up, as you said?
Yeah, it would be tough to lose both guys. I would bet money. Well, no, I wouldn't, but I would guess that Corey Linsley's was probably an MCL. He probably tore an MCL. You know, when you get hit from the side like that, that's often what it is, and it's very painful. But sometimes you can come back in that pretty quickly. I remember Marco Rivera coming back, and I don't think he missed a game. And you can put a brace on it. Now, that doesn't mean Lindsley wouldn't be out for a couple of weeks, but LaFleur indicated that it wasn't season ending. So they know it's not an ACL. So that's what makes me think it's like an MCL. Patrick, like you said, a toe can be tricky. Maybe they got it before it got really bad. You know, he had that shoulder injury against Minnesota and came back and was ready the next week. He had another injury. I forgot what it was. And he just keeps coming back. So if he can't play, I think their depth is good. I think Wagner can be fine at right tackle. I think poor Billy Turner has to keep moving around.
Right.
And I think right tackle is his best position. But if he has to move to right guard, I guess that's what they got to do. And Elgton Jenkins will always be good wherever he is. And center was his natural position. And that's where he'll be next year. I'm willing to bet on it. And they just, if both those guys are out, it's a little troublesome, but they can survive it.
Yeah. The man, Jenkins is just so fascinating. Tom, I haven't covered the game. I mean, you've been covering the game for like 200 years. So I don't, you know, I can't speak to, I've never seen a guy bounce around and play at such a high level from tackle to center in games. I mean, we could spend a whole other podcast talking about Elgton Jenkins.
Yeah, he's just a great athlete. He is a great athlete, and he knows how to play the game. You know, he knows, he studies. He's football smart. Otherwise, you know, that would be a hard job to do if you didn't study and understand blocking patterns and all that kind of stuff.
For sure. It's definitely a luxury, one that maybe they knew they had, but I don't know how you could know that that could translate all across the line of scrimmage in the NFL. Now, you know, on the other side, Tom, you know, I always think you roll your eyes at me when I bring up my favorite phrase for certain quarterbacks, which is, you know, you want them to play for you in your Turkey Bowl game, but maybe not on Sundays. And I think Mitch Trubisky has drifted into that territory. I mean, look, the Bears had to play him. Nick Foles was hurt. He was bad. You know, I mean, there's a reason he got benched back in September. And, you know, they had their limitations, and credit to the Packers for taking advantage of it. Darnell Savage Jr. You know, Jerry Gray said on Wednesday that he thought Savage would end the year with two or three interceptions, that he was starting to really – hone in on his keys and really play fast. And lo and behold, he gets two picks on Sunday. They both lead to touchdowns. One, the backbreaker, Bears down 13-3. Trubisky kind of overthrows Darnell Mooney to the end zone. But Savage said that the Vikings ran that route, that play, to success in week one. And it allowed Savage to recognize it and run to a spot. Kind of next gen stats for folks. He hit 19 and a half miles an hour running. You know, I mean, it was a bad throw, but Savage was there to make a good play. And, you know, he's a star on the rise, I guess, Tom. He's a first round pick. We saw this last year. He has two picks. Preston Smith, you know, Mike Smith calls him out a little bit on Wednesday as well. And he has a sack on third down. We haven't seen that in a long time. Za'Darius Smith has a strip sack that leads to a fumble, and Preston Smith is in the right spot to pick it up and have a score. You know, that their playmaker, their stars, I mean, a first round pick and $100 million worth of linebackers, Tom, you know, they showed up on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm going to hesitate to call Darnell Savage a star or a rising star. I think he's starting to, he's starting to get it, and he's starting to be able to use that speed that you were talking about in his position. And that's what they drafted him for. There's the jury's still out on whether he can be physical enough, you know, around the line of scrimmage, whether his tackling will be good enough, whether his angles will be good enough, but he can fly, and he's playing with confidence. And those are the kind of plays they need him to make. Now, Trubisky, that he threw it into double coverage. It was insane. It was just, he had all day and he picked out the wrong guy. I mean, he needs to throw that out of bounds or throw it out of the back of the end zone. And, you know, he just threw it up there for Savage. And then the other one was really bad too. So I give credit to Savage for catching it. I mean, Kevin King had one right in his hands and dropped it. So Savage gets credit for that. But they were still facing Mitch Trubisky. I'm sorry. He is just terrible. You can say what you want about Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins led a fourth quarter drive for a victory today on Sunday. So Mitch Trubisky couldn't hold Kirk Cousins' jock. That's how bad
which is saying something, because you guys all on the podcast know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. Look, put it this way. You know, Brock Osweiler was the genesis of this line of demarcation for me, Tom. So Kirk Cousins is better than Brock Osweiler, that's for sure. I still wouldn't want him being my guy, I guess, if I had to win an important game. But anyway,
yeah.
I mean, look.
We digress.
Yeah, I can bag on
it. I think you're starting to see that 2019 draft class start to show a little bit, because Rashawn Gary is playing probably what they had hoped he would be at this point. You know, just a powerful man who, if he ever gets some really good pass rush moves, will be a dangerous guy. He's so strong. We saw what he did with Charles Leno and just put him on his back. Poor Charles Leno, though. I mean, he gutted it up and played at left tackle with nine toes. And, I mean, he was so overmatched. I felt bad for the poor guy. You know, he's trying to play, and he's got a horrible quarterback behind him. It was just a bad day for him. So, anyway, my bottom line with the defense is that, great, they had a couple of turnovers, but they didn't play a complete game again. They gave up 15 points in the fourth quarter to Trubisky. The drive at the end of the first half was ridiculous, that they just let him move right down the field, 15 plays, 87 yards. That can't happen. You know, that if he's doing that, you know, in the fourth quarter, that's kind of what happened with Minnesota in the opener, and they almost lost it. You know, they face, if they get ahead against a Russell Wilson, you know, he's going to come back and beat you. So right now, their whole identity as a team is offense. It's all about their offense. How many points can they score?
See, it's interesting. I get what you're saying for sure. And you know, Savage Jr. Said after the game, yeah, it is a point of pride when you're up at a certain level to not let the other team score. I don't know. Is that one of those, Tom? Do you think that, I mean, Mike Pettine has done this, you know, it didn't happen a lot in 18. They didn't win much. But last year, I thought there were times where when they got up a score, two scores, you know, they won a lot of close games, but I think, you know, some of that was this, right? Like the, you know, Indianapolis was a question. Third and long, you play off and guys, and they're able to move the ball. I mean, do you think they need to dial it up a little bit, even up three scores on bad teams? I mean, I get the either or there.
Yeah, well, okay, so you're either a blitzing team or you're not, right? And you can't be something that you're not. And he's not been a big blitzer here. They probably were more when he was with the Jets. But there's also the, you know, Trubisky is not hurting you down the field. And you, at some point, you know, you tell your corners to take a chance. I mean, he's throwing these outs, and there were a couple times, there was one, Kevin King should have had a pick six. You know, he was slow reacting. but have your corner squat a little bit. And I don't know what the deal is with coverage, but, you know, and I wrote this column on Sunday, and now I'm starting to second guess it, where, you know, I thought he should play Kirksey and Kamal Martin more. But I'm watching Christian Kirksey in coverage, and a couple of times he's like lost. And that surprises me, because he's a smart guy, he's an experienced guy. Patton said, you know, he's not used to playing the Mike linebacker, but, you know, he lit it was Allen Robinson, I think, in the north end zone, where Channon Sullivan is like, okay, I'm passing him off to you. You know, he's pointing him, and Kirksey's like moving right behind Channon Sullivan, and he lets him run right in front of him for a touchdown. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe there's something we don't know about those inside linebackers. And, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, Brian Gutekunst did not do him any favors if they can't play pass defense.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm trying to remember the time in Cleveland there, Tom. Joe Schobert might have been the middle linebacker there.
Yeah, I think so. I think yeah. Kirksey was the weak side guy. And you know, he was a kind of fly to the ball guy.
Right. Yeah, it is right. A different responsibility, that's for sure. That's interesting, because I had wondered. I mean, look, the Bears are, wow. I mean, they're so just offensively just so atrocious. I couldn't get over that. I mean, it looked worse than San Francisco with all those, you know, Frankenstein parts they were running out there. I felt yeah. like, but so I do want to give some credit. I mean, we had a big story over at PackersNews.com. The Packers special teams really struggling since Houston. Not just the big plays we know of in terms of the punt return, the punt block, you know, kick returns. I mean, they've been struggling, and teams have been pressing the issue. Personnel change happened. The only one they could make, which was Malik Taylor back on kick return. The Bears elected to not, you know, I thought they would for sure try some stuff, Tom, because the offense was so bad.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But they booted out of the end zone. And to their credit, the two times Cordero Patterson ran it out, they brought him down with solid coverage. Although that kick coverage hasn't really been a problem for them. J.K. Scott's couple punts covered well. Mm-hmm. Darius Shepard, you know, a couple fair catches. They've basically been a non-factor on punt return. But I'll give them credit. You know, it was a game where I thought, you know, the Bears might stress them. They did not there. Mason Crosby missed an extra point. Strange, but he was, and the reason I'm going to end special teams here, Tom, Matt LaFleur elected to go for it on fourth down a bunch. And I thought that was, I don't think it was an aggressive or a knock on Crosby or anything to the wind. I thought it just had everything to do with the fact they were really dominating up front.
Yeah, I think so too. And maybe he didn't trust really his defense all that much. So maybe he was thinking, like you said, they're moving the ball. It's worth that risk rather than kick a field goal and make his defense have to come out and play. I thought it was a good day to be aggressive. You know, they were 3-for-3 on fourth down, and the way Chicago was playing, yeah, I think that was smart. One thing I will say about special teams, we know that Tavon Austin is in town, and they're going to be working him out. I'm not sure if that's tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
Monday or Tuesday. And I'd be interested to see if that's a guy they might consider bringing in, especially with Irvin being banged up. Maybe they need to keep Irvin just playing offense and find a return specialist like Austin, or at least take some pressure off of Irvin and have another kind of a slot guy like that. I don't know if you can have two of those guys on your team. whether it's worth taking two spots on your roster like that.
Yeah, he's a nice guy and a great story, but I mean, I don't really know what does Darius Shepherd offer you.
Right.
I mean, he's
exactly.
Playing. Exactly. Now, someone might say the same for Malik Taylor at this point, but in terms of skins on the wall, I mean, Shepherd is clearly, if he's back there on kick return, teams feel that's a weakness, and we don't see him on offense anymore. So yeah, if Austin still has some juice left, I mean, he's at least, it's been a while. I think 2016, Tom, is the last time he was a full-time punt returner, but again, that's at least it's been done.
Yeah. And he wasn't a dominant punt returner.
Right.
I mean, 1 year he averaged 11, which is really good, but he's like a 7-8 yard guy, but he's a threat.
Right.
And so at least, you know, teams have to think about punting it high and short. Or, you know, if there's a chance they outkick their coverage, maybe he does break one. All you're looking for is one or two that he can break. I also wonder about, you know, they use the jet motion so effectively, and they used it pretty well with Lazard and St. Brown, but there's nothing like having a guy like Irvin or Austin to run that. It changes a lot. And so I wonder if they would be, you know, if they're worried about Irvin coming back, would they consider bringing him in for a couple of games?
Yeah. It's, you know, I thought today, or I guess last night, the jet motion, see, it's interesting, Tom, because when Irvin first got hurt early in the year, they used one player. It was Aaron Jones, or then it was Equanimeous. I guess he did it a couple times. Then it was Davante Adams. I think Marquez Valdez-Scantling did it once. I've seen more variety there in that role, although they didn't really use the stacks as much. So, yeah, maybe some of it is just guys are getting more familiar with it because Irvin's out in some of that practice time and they're able to take advantage of it. And look, let's end with Aaron Rodgers here, Tom. You know, he's playing at a really high level, saying – you know, it of course is very comfortable with things. Look, 21 of 29, a rating of 132. The yards weren't there, but he threw for 4 touchdowns. You know, unlike a year ago where he had that 4-game hot streak and people kind of got kind of MVP happy. And it just, as we had said on this podcast, that didn't feel like that. And it wasn't that. Now, I mean, he's trending numbers wise in certain territories that you have seen before, Packers fans have seen before, not quite Mahomes style. But it's, I mean, is he in the conversation at this point? Is this something where, or are the blowout losses and some of the other issues when they've lost the three times, you know, in the bigger scheme of things, you know, how do you view this? Because, you know, it's going to be a topic now and down the stretch run.
Yeah, and it's a topic I can't stand. I just, the whole MVP thing is not as big a deal to me as it is to a lot of people. And I have to vote for it. I'm the AP, ballot. I have the AP ballot. But I really try to wait till the end of the year to make that judgment. You know, everyone wants to make it now. And I remember last year with Mahomes, I was like, people wanted to give it to him after 3 weeks. And I'm like, let's just wait and see, you know, how the season goes. And last year he got hurt, right?
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson wound up getting it. So I just think, I think he's in the conversation. There's no question he's in the conversation. I don't know. Mahomes to me is kind of on a level that nobody plays that consistently, but Rodgers is just really playing good football, just really good football. I don't think it's the football he played in 2010 or 2011 when he just made plays that boggled the mind. I think he's just playing really good football right now. And he's got a guy who's calling good plays for him. And he's got some people who are making some some pretty solid plays for him.
Yeah. It's now that I know that you really don't like it, I may have to ask you about it every week.
Probably. You'll probably ask me every 15
minutes. Let's end on this. I kind of know your answer because you alluded to it with the defense, but that said, you don't it sounds like you don't believe this is their most complete victory of the year. I'm having a hard time thinking of one, Tom, that they really had it going in three phases. Yeah.
I don't think there is one yet. Okay. I just don't. And, you know, it would have to be a special teams. They had the potential for this to be that game. But I sort of feel like they just – the defense – I'm just not carried away by it. I want to see more. And you know what? It'll be interesting because, you know, so they play Philadelphia next week. And, they're struggling, and Carson Wentz is playing terrible. Miles Sanders is an okay running back. But the week after that, Christian McCaffrey should be back for Carolina. And, you know, remember, he gashed them for 200 yards. Was that last year?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a goal line stand in the snow.
Yeah, right. And then they got Derrick Henry the week after that. So let's, you know, we'll know a lot more about their defense then. I mean, I think I already do know about their defense, but we'll find out in a big game whether they can be big contributors.
Yeah. Well, we will find out soon enough. We will be back with you. I didn't address it at the top. Clearly we were off with the holiday and kind of the crazy schedule this past week, so we didn't get you the pregame. But then you would have just heard me rip on Mitch Trubisky for about 15 minutes anyways.
Yeah, right.
Tom and I, we are back on our regular rotation. We will get back to you Thursday with the latest Green 19 podcast. So, as always, be sure to head over to jsonline.com/deals. Subscribe. It's only $1. Same thing with packersnews.com. Hit the subscribe button wherever area you're from, national, international, local, whatever. You have options there as well. Make sure you turn on those push alerts for everything that's new and exciting and interesting from all of us at PackersNews.com. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you then.